Good day, listeners. This is Taylor McClure for CIDI 99.1 FM, and you're listening to Township's Daily News Bits. I am here with Gerald Cutting, the former president of the Townshippers Association, who's going to be speaking with us about his recent decision to step down from his role as president after a 12-year run. So, Gerald, thank you so much for being here with us today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me on. I really do feel that it's something that's important in terms of making sure that our community radios and our newspapers have access to people who might have something that your listeners are interested in.
Exactly. And I know that this is definitely going to be something that people are going to be interested in, considering Townshippers is one of the only organizations here that really stands up for the rights of English-speaking townshippers. So can you please start off by telling us a little bit about why you originally took on the role as president of the Townshippers Association over a decade ago now? What kind of encouraged you to play your part?
If we go back, I was originally recruited to come on to the Townshippers Board round about the time when I was retiring as Director General of Champlain Regional College. And I was enticed by being given the position of vice president. And within a very short period of time, what happened was that the president who was holding the reins at the time left the presidency, and I inherited the job, not to election. It was just that's what happens in the bylaws. The VP takes over. And the following AGM, then I was elected president, and it was one of those times in my life where I had a lot more free time, and I was very happy to devote myself to the Townshippers Association. And it just repeated itself year after year until we arrived here at 2022, where another decision had to be made.
And what about Townshippers Association made you want to be a part of the group? What made it unique and special to you that made you want to play your part in their mission?
There was at that time what I felt was an absence of a voice speaking on behalf of the off-island rural Anglophone persons, and in that respect, I thought there was something that needed to be done with the townshippers. And I think at that particular juncture in the evolution of the organization, the advocacy element was not one that was receiving a lot of attention. And it was, in fact, one of the main interests that I had coming on to the board, that we needed to revitalize our sense of the need to have a voice and to have a voice that actually could be heard and would make a difference. And there were people around the table at the same time who were feeling very much the same about it. And so it became something then that I took on with a sense of mission. And some of the first things that we had to do was, of course, to reinvigorate our connection with our local members of Parliament and our members of the National Assembly so that they would know who are the people, and namely the president and whoever was the ED at the time, and to begin to develop that sense of networking with the people who were making decisions at the decision-making table and may not have any real concrete idea. What does this community really need? What do we really aspire to? What is it that we need to feed into the decision-making machine that is going to be important for our futures? And that's something that I found was, once we got it rolling, it had a life of its own, because many of the political figures really did find that our input was quite important. And on several occasions, then, we were able to put forth major briefs at the parliamentary hearings dealing with pieces of legislation that would have major impact on us. And I think we really made a difference. And I think every time that we could make a difference, it reinforced this sense that Yes, indeed. This is part of our mission. It's something we really have to take to heart.
Yeah, that's actually a great introduction into my next question was, when you took on the role as president, what sort of issues concerned you the most? And are these issues something that you hope that the association continues to confront in Quebec's current landscape?
Absolutely. You know, I think what we have to look at here are perhaps some of the first major changes that we experienced as an English community with English institutions. And if we go back to 101, what we saw then was that the school system ended up losing a substantial part of its student clientele because those students who were graduating from the French high school system were no longer allowed to attend English schools until they got to the CEGEP level. And that's where I began to see, and when I was at Champlain-Lennoxville, and then as the DG of the three campuses, that our clientele began to change. It began to have many more French-speaking students coming into our system. There was an impact there, and that impact, I think, is one that we are now beginning to really feel because a number of our schools are all, and I'm speaking now primarily of elementary schools, the English clientele that has the authorization to attend English schools has really, really dropped. And that puts the schools, I think, in a certain sense at risk, and it then also places a great deal of stress on the way in which we manage these institutions, because a school is absolutely essential for a community, whether it be English or French speaking. If you want to keep young families, if you want to have young people wanting to stay in the community, there has to be a school. The second major issue is that what we began to see, I think, more and more with the passage of different kinds of legislation, is that the healthcare institutions, and I look at the Sherbrooke Hospital in particular here in the Sherbrooke area, and the Perkins in the Cowansville area, these are institutions that have been primarily English-speaking, but they catered to anyone who came in who had the need for service. My preoccupation, how are we going to ensure that we can continue to have access to schools and access to top quality medical care and social services in our English language? That became something that we would constantly try to bring to the forefront, to the table. And as things went on, we know that there were major pieces of legislation that came up. Bill 10, the restructuring of the entire healthcare system. And I recall going to the parliamentary hearings with Rachel Hunting, our executive director, and we made a pitch. We said, you've forgotten something absolutely important. We built these institutions. We staffed them. We welcomed everyone. And now, by throwing all of these institutions together in a huge structure, what we're going to find is that the English voice will no longer have a presence. This is something you've got to change, Mr. Barrett, who was the minister at the time. After our presentation, he came over and he said, you know, I'm very glad that you made that statement. We will, in fact, do something to ensure that there will be an English voice on the board. Next thing I knew, I was appointed as the English rep. And it's something I'm still the rep. So that are some of the things that, you know, have unfolded for me. And some of the very other bills that came up where we've had to challenge very seriously. And Bill 40 is another example of recent times. The abolition of the English school boards, along with all of the French school boards, to be able to convey to the decision makers that, by the way, guys, these are not just school boards. These are institutions. These are, in fact, many instances, the last vestige of English organizations, English institutions that are still almost under the control of the English population and its community. And we need to preserve these institutions.
Yeah, and this is something that is still playing out here in the province as we are witnessing with Bill 96.
We know now that Bill 40 was challenged in the courts, and it's going all the way to the Supreme Court. It's very costly, but we have to make sure that we give that our all and that we regain. I would say it may be difficult to imagine regaining complete control, but a measure of control within our own school systems that really reflects our need, the challenges of being an English community off the island of Montreal. But then that's nothing compared to what Bill 96 is about to do. It's possibly the most frightening piece of legislation that I have ever seen. Here we are now in a knockdown fight to preserve, in a large part, I think, the very essence of what it means to be a proud English-speaking Quebecer who's also a proud Canadian, who's a proud townshiper. We enjoy, I think, as the English community, multiple identities. So then to find ourselves pushed into a box by saying, well, from now on, there's only really one identity, and it's French. And, oh yes, by the way, yeah, we're very thankful for what you've done in the past and your contributions. And in order to reward you for that, we are going to allow some of you to be able to continue to have English services if you can prove, by the way, that you were eligible for English language education in the province. And I recall when Rachel and I were making our presentation at the Parliamentary Commission on 96, I asked the question of the minister, Jolie Barrette. I said, why did you not grandfather? And he said, I did. Oh, where? Where? Well, after digging, we found it. But what it says then is that anyone who was receiving English language services when the bill was tabled may continue to have services if they can demonstrate that they are an historical Anglophone. And it just goes on and on about, you know, what's going to happen. We know right now we have a problem filling jobs. We need immigrants. We have an aging population who are retiring and deserving of their retirement. That means we need to have people coming in to fill those jobs. Can you imagine yourself, you're thinking about immigrating to North America, supposedly, you know, the most liberal, the most free of all of the countries in the world, and you arrive in Quebec and you're told you have 6 months to learn French, or we put you on the plane or boat back where you came from. Who's going to want to come here?
Yeah, Nikki Moore from Townshippers Association, we actually had a very lovely interview with her a little while back, and she touched on various issues within the bill and how it's going to impact our population here. And it seems like the Townshippers Association is going to have a large challenge on their hands for the next couple of years moving forward.
Well, I think what we are moving towards now is the next phase of any bill. Next phase after it's passed is that then there's the regulations that must be written. And these regulations, then they're published in something that's called the Official Gazette of Quebec. Once they're published, they are official. There's no hearings on them anymore. It's just full steam ahead. We are going to have to be exceedingly vigilant to make sure that as these things are percolating along, that if we can in any way influence what's going to be happening. Right now, the Francophone community is just now waking up to some of the impacts of 96, and it's in the business community. We have to remember that when Monsieur Legault came into power, he said, I'm coming in with an economic program. So how then do you justify these kinds of measures? And I'm reading as probably everyone is. So we could, in fact, instead of moving ahead, we could be moving backwards.
Yes, exactly. Well, thank you for being so open about that, Gerald. Moving forward with the next big question that everyone is wondering, why did you decide to step down from your role at this time? And what's next for you? Do you hope to continue to play your part in standing up for the rights of English townshippers here in Quebec?
I've had to wrestle with a very difficult issue. Well, actually, it's two very difficult issues. I should probably make that clear. I'm going to be 75 years of age this year. I have struggled with some health issues that are the result of injuries that I sustained over the years. And I've had to step back a couple of times in this past year, having to confront that head on, looking at myself in the mirror and saying, you know what, with 96 here, you're not up to being able to carry forward because you could have a slip backwards because of your health in terms of looking at that. Then my next perception was Townshipers needs to have someone who is going to be able to definitely stay the course and is going to be able to deal with, there's going to be a huge number of issues that will percolate up, and they're going to have to be at 100% all of the time, and I'm not. So I did what I always admired in some of my hockey player heroes. When it's time to hang up your skates, do it. Mm-hmm. Don't wait till circumstances force you out. And I'm on the verge of looking that straight in the face. And so I thought, okay, I can still have a major role. I'm still on the hospital board. I intend to take on perhaps some other roles. I would like to perhaps be writing more, to be commenting more. I'm an eighth generation Cutting, and on my father's side, and on my mother's side, the famille des Ilers, the first des Ilers arrived with Jacques Cartier. This is my home, and I have some pretty deep roots, and I fully intend to make the best use of all of the experience I've had, and just by the fact that maybe I don't have the energy I had, or some of the other factors, I can gauge myself better, and I can, in that sense, I think, make constructive contributions to the community that I have really such a strong connection to.
And what are your hopes for the Townshipers Association moving forward? Do you have any final words for the organization and the community at large as well that you have served for the past 12 years?
Well, I started saying something early on in my presidency. We're not just here to survive, we're here to thrive. And that means we are going to have to make very certain that we don't hunker down, that we are vocal and we are constructive. And one of the other factors that is so important about the way in which Townshipers has been active and successful, we don't just bring up problems, we bring up solutions. And that's the secret, is that you can go in and you can bring up an issue and you can say, this is really not in the interest of our community or our province or the entire population. And then you've got to give policymakers alternatives. So that the Townshipers then must be, it's like a 1-2 approach. Here's the problem, here's a solution. And I think that's something that if we're going to thrive, we're going to have to be a little bit more adventurous in terms of taking risks, and we're going to have to be a lot more, I think, present at the decision-making level. We cannot move back. And I think right now I see that in some of the community members, and they just say, oh, you know, here we go again, you know, what are we going to do? And complacency is not what we need. The other factor, too, is that I'm really, really concerned that we're going to lose a lot of our young people. We've got to make sure that, as a community, we strive to make sure that we retain them, that we look at ways and means of doing that, of getting out there and being very present in attracting jobs and making sure that our young people are properly equipped to do so.
I wasn't sure if there was anything else, Gerald, that you would that you would like to say or that you would like to mention before you move on to new things? And I wasn't sure if you had any final words that you wanted to say.
Well, you know, it's hard after the amount of time that I was with Townshipers to have something that is a final word. You know, I don't want to say goodbye. I want to say see you later. And I think what I want to leave then is that my aspirations for the association, I think, are going to be fulfilled. We have some very competent people. And I think our community has really woken up to the fact that, you know what, we've got to get back to some of that pioneering spirit. When, you know, there was nothing but forest, we made it into fields. We grew crops. We raised families. That's what we have as a constant. We can do it. And nobody can stand in our way.
Well, thank you so much, Gerald, for your time. I really appreciate it, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you so very much.
I also had the pleasure of speaking with Don Warnholtz, who's going to be speaking to us about his new position as the newly elected president of the Townshipers Association. So thank you so much, Don, for being here with us today. I super appreciate it. Can you please start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and your background and your involvement with Townshipers over the years?
Sure. Well, I have been involved with Townshipers on the executive committee for the last 5 years now. I live here in the township. I'm a retired clinical program manager. I worked in health and social services with people with intellectual disabilities and autism. Now I also act as the director general of the Dixville Foundation, and that's the population that our work is dedicated towards. I also, in terms of my background, I was a member of the Provincial Access Committee for Health and Social Services. With my mandate just finished in December, but I did a 3-year mandate there. I've been involved in a lot of different things in the community over the years. Community aid in Lenoxville, minor hockey, baseball associations. So I've always been quite active.
Okay, and it seems like you're very, very involved in the health and social services sector. So what do you hope to bring to Townshipers with your new role as president?
Well, when I look at our population, one of the most important things is, there's two things. There's education and there's health and social services. And then health and social services at a time where somebody could be in a crisis, a healthcare crisis, or needing specialized services, it's important that they're able to communicate well with the health service provider. And it brings a better health care outcome to the situation. Quite often people talk about the rights, but I look at it, it just makes a lot of sense that the province gives good quality services, and when there's less problems with communication, there's less errors that can happen.
Yes. And how do you plan on continuing to support the English-speaking community of the townships as the president of one of the only groups in the province that actually promote and protect the interests of this minority group here in Quebec?
First of all, like, we have a strong board, and there's a lot of experience. We just had one new member, Peter Starr, that joined us from Sutton, and he's got a wealth of knowledge and experience. He'll be a real asset to us. But the others have all had many years of experience. And the team at Townshipers, I've been meeting more of them lately, and I'm quite impressed. I think we have a strong team, and together I think we'll be able to really, really work together to support the best that we can our population and our community.
Okay. And what is your first task as president, and what issues within our current landscape here in Quebec do you hope to address?
Well, I would say Bill 96 is coming up. I think the fall will be busy. There's elections. I think we'll need to, although the Townshipers isn't necessarily a political organization, I think that we can talk to candidates and explain what our needs are and what what types of actions can be taken politically that can help us and to support our community. So that will be that will definitely be part of it. But a lot of it will be the ongoing programs of Townshippers. And of course, it's a big change. Like Jerry Cutting being president for 12 years, it's a big change in the organization. So the onboarding part, getting to know all the programs, although I know things quite well, there's still more learning to be done.
And I wanted to ask you as well, why did you decide to take on this role? What made you want to? This is such a big role, like you said, and you're taking over from Gerald, who had been there for 12 years. What really pushed you towards taking on this role?
Well, I've always believed in community, and like I've always been the type to get involved. Even when my kids were young and playing sports. And also, I'm a grandfather. I have 9 grandchildren. My 3 sons have settled in the area as well. So I look at it, you know, what can we do to make our community better for them, but for everyone else as well? And so when there was a need, I agreed to step up.
Okay. And do you have any words here for our community that you would like to share?
Yeah, I would just say that, we are going through a time where I think people are troubled with the political landscape and Bill 96 and the notion of historical Anglophones and all that, but we are a strong community, and I think that what will be really important is that we develop strong links with the Francophone community as well, so they really realize that, reducing the rights of one group or one segment of society doesn't really benefit everyone, and can actually have a detrimental effect to society as a whole. And I think that that will be important. And in this area, in the townships, I find that the relationships are normally quite good between the communities. You rarely hear of problems. A lot of what's happened seems to be coming from issues in Montreal, real or imagined. But I think in the townships, my dealings with the CS, I find they have shown a real commitment to giving services in English, to the best of their ability. And I think that's positive.
Yes. And do you have anything else that you would like to mention about your new role or about Townshippers Association before you head off on your wonderful vacation?
Well, it's a real privilege to be able to serve. And like I said, we have a solid group of people with our directors and our staff. And our community as well, and I feel privileged to have this opportunity.
Well, thank you so much, Don, for speaking with us. I really appreciate it.
Okay, you're very welcome, Taylor.
Townships Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.